Good morning and welcome to Finding Your Way Home, Real Talk on Real Estate. My name is Sherry Doherty and I have the pleasure of being your host every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Today I am on my own, but I have lots of what I believe to be interesting information for you. Current market updates is what I'm going to share with you is some recent data that has just been released from our board. I'm also going to tell you what I believe is an interesting story about why you need to be sure you have the absolute best advocate in your corner when you are buying or selling a home. And then, time permitting, I'm also going to touch on what's hot and what's not in the Ontario real estate market right now. So let's dive right in. And I have with me today the stats that were recently released from the Kingston Real Estate Board. And I thought that I would share with you all the statistics on both Kingston proper as well as Frontenac, because we are in cottage season and there's lots of interest in finding ways to spend more time up at the lakes. And if you have a recreational property, to enjoy those. So there's some activity there that is interesting as well. What I will share is I'm referring to June 2026, and these statistics were just recently released, but that is the hottest off-the-market information that is available. So in June 2026, there were 207 units sold in Kingston proper, and what that means is it could be anything from a fully detached home, a condo, it could be a townhome, it could be a residential unit of any type, but just in bulk, there were 207 units that were sold. That is actually up 12% over May, so a pretty big spike there. And what we've been seeing actually is a bit of a delayed market. So typically we are most busy in, say, April and May, June a little bit, but this year it's been a little bit late. So it doesn't surprise me that we saw a big bump in June over May, and May is typically a higher season, but not this year. Things are a little bit strange. That is actually down just 0.5% over June 2025. So kind of typical activity for the month of June. The average house price in the area for those units was $651,587,000. And that is up 2% over last month, so May 2026, and it's actually down almost a full percentage over June 2025. So as you're hearing, we're moving much more towards a buyer's market. Prices are softening a little bit, and that's a reflection of that activity. There were actually 418 new listings in Kingston in June 2026, and that is actually down 10% over May. And so we're starting to see the decline. We see a big influx of listings in the spring because lots of people want to have themselves set up to move for September when kids start school again. We also see a big influx of military moves in our area because we have the base here. That is actually down, though, 4% over June 2025. There are currently 645 active listings, and that is down almost 5% over 2025, and it is a decrease of 1.2% over May 2026. And the average days on market, again, I like to emphasize that days on market is important because it sets the expectation for the seller on typically how long it will take them to sell their home. And we did live in a time during the COVID era when literally days on market was about 7, and that was only because people were holding off to a specific date to make sure they could collect up and review offers and create a bidding competition. The days on market at that time could have been 1. You could have put a house on the market and it could have sold the next day, but it was typically 7, and that was a little bit artificially inflated because of that holding strategy. But right now we're in a much more balanced market where things are happening in a healthier way because nothing was normal or healthy during the COVID time. Right now, a current days on market is 20 in Kingston, and it was actually 18.5 in June 2025, so a little bit longer now, which I'm seeing that personally as well. And from last month, it was 21, so we shaved a day off between May and June 2026. So those are the current statistics for Kingston proper. anytime that you are considering a real estate transaction, you should reach out to your professional realtor and make sure that you get the statistics right down to your neighborhood, your community, or your home style. So please bear in mind that those are very generic, high-level numbers, and you do need detailed information as it relates to whatever you're looking to purchase or sell. Now, I'm going to share the same information as it relates to Frontenac, because we are part of Frontenac County, and like I said, there is a big focus on cottage season. And so I thought it would be interesting to share what's happened there. So in June 2026, there were 56 sales in Frontenac, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they are all cottages, but there is certainly a percentage in there. And that is actually up 40% from June 2025, and it's actually up 55% from May 2026. So a big lift in changeover of these types of properties, which is interesting. The average sale price is $691,441. So that is about $40,000 more than the properties in Kingston that I just referred to, because their average sale price was $651,000. These are $691,000. I'm going to hazard a really educated guess that that is probably because a lot of these are waterfront, and obviously waterfront pulls up the average price in all circumstances. So that price is actually up 2.2% over June 2025, and it's actually up 8.5% over May 2026. So prices in cottage country, let's call it, in Frontenac in our particular area, are certainly on the upswing, which is interesting because the majority of Kingston and Ontario in general are very soft, stagnant, or even decreasing. So good for Frontenac County. There were 168 new listings, and that was up 43.5% from this time last year and up 4% from May 2026. So there are new listings. There are some great options out there. I have one that really needs to be sold. It's a fantastic three-season cottage, and you can get one of those these days on the water for under $450,000. So reach out if you know anyone interested. There are currently 329 active listings, and that is actually up 27% from this time last year. So there are great options out there. There is lots of inventory, though, and it's up 21% over May 2026. So again, everything is on the upswing. They are taking a bit longer to sell than the stuff that's right in Kingston proper. As I just shared, things are taking about 20 days in Kingston to sell, and they're taking on average 33 in Frontenac County. Now, that is different from June 2025, where the average days on market was 22.5, and the last month it was actually 21. So we took a big slowdown in this market. One of the things I'm going to talk about when I talk about what's hot and what's not is actually people who are looking for lifestyle properties have great choice right now. So there are some fantastic waterfront cottages and year-round homes that are available. They just haven't sold. So if you happen to be fortunate enough to be in that space, there's certainly lots of great homes to be purchased. You have a lot of negotiating power. However, I'm getting ahead of myself, because that's where I'm going to talk about what's hot and what's not. So what I wanted to do next is I actually wanted to tell you a story about a recent transaction where I represented the seller. And this is an anecdote about why it is so important to make sure that you have the right advocate in your corner when you are buying or selling. I will give you enough of the backstory and no details to break any confidentiality. However, I was representing a seller of a home recently, and we received a conditional offer. So for discussion purposes, let's say that we agreed to the conditional offer for $550,000. And like most conditional deals, they are conditional on financing and home inspection and making sure it's insurable and reviewing documents, things like a survey or standard utility bills. This particular buyer wanted to make sure that they had a really good, thorough home inspection, which they did, which they should. So I'm all for that. But just before it was time for us to firm up the deal, they wrote us an amendment that said that they would firm up the deal if we reduced the selling price by $40,000. So they said that their home inspector found some deficiencies that were estimated to cost about $40,000. So no longer did they want to purchase the home for $550,000. They wanted to purchase the home for $510,000. And I thought, wow, that is a big decrease. Oh my goodness, what did they find? So of course, doing my good due diligence and working on behalf of my seller, I asked to see the home inspection or at least the relevant parts. If they wanted us to take a $40,000 decrease, I was certainly going to know why. And I also wanted to see any estimate that they received for that work. So the other realtor did a great job as well, and she provided me with all that documentation. And there was some question about whether or not the crawl space was structurally sound and whether or not there needed to be weeping tile installed around this home. And this home was a heritage home, so it was over 100 years old. It was not common at that time for there to be a weeping tile system in this type of home. And it just didn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me. They had an engineer come in and they actually looked at the structural soundness to make sure that the beams were in place. And obviously it's important that the house is held up properly. So I saw all those reports. I'm not going to question what an engineer said, and yes, it needed some reinforcement, but what they had was one of their own contractors come in and give an estimate of what it would take to reinforce this house as well as add the weeping tile system. And when I looked at the quote, I didn't really see it that it could come to a $40,000 cost. And I hate to be skeptical, but I do have to work in defense of my sellers. So the quote that they provided us literally looked like I could have had my friend make it. It was not on, you know, professional, letterhead. It wasn't on professional letterhead. It didn't have a proper registered business name. It certainly didn't reflect an HST number. And if it was this serious of a contractor, then they would be collecting and charging HST. It just looked like something somebody could have made in Canva or Word or anything like that. They could have had their friend make an invoice that says, you know, Sherry's Contracting says this is going to cost $40,000 to repair. So I didn't like that. So I decided that I would Google this contractor and couldn't find him, which is pretty interesting because, again, if you're hiring somebody to do $40,000 worth of work for you, you would think they would be a well-known, well-reputable, really highly qualified individual that you're potentially going to count on for the structure of your home as well as giving them $40,000. So we did our due diligence and I couldn't find them. I looked them up, you know, simple Google search to see if they were a registered business in the area. I looked up the Better Business Bureau. I asked ChatGPT, to be honest, asked some other contractors in the area that I do know if they knew this person, and they didn't really. So I didn't love that. I also said to the listing agent, so if it were me, before I would go ahead and agree with somebody that this is $40,000 worth of work, I would get probably three estimates, which is everything that I recommend all the time. Imagine you need a new roof. And so you get three roofing companies and you look at, you know, who charged you the most. So you go with the highest, the lowest, and the one in the middle. And it isn't necessarily always about price. You want to make sure that you're getting the best quality of work for what you're paying and that they come with great reviews and great recommendations. As a result, we still couldn't locate this person. And I said backing up a little bit, they were also trying to do this on the day that the deal was due to firm up or it would fail. So I think they were using a little bit of pressure tactic to say like, oh, well, you better just agree to this today or we're going to walk away and the deal fails. And I also don't like to be put under pressure or be bullied, especially on behalf of my sellers. So we actually ended up in fairly heated conversations, but we negotiated an extension. Basically, we said, in this case, all parties are kind of annoyed. Everybody's kind of frustrated. At the end of the day, my seller wanted to sell and the buyer wanted to buy the particular home, but now they couldn't agree on a price. They couldn't agree on the work that needed to be done, and they couldn't agree on who was going to do that work for a fair price. So we negotiated an extension so everybody could take a breath over the weekend, and then everybody could reconvene earlier in the week and decide what all of our next steps are going to be. I also wrote in the extension, though, that my seller also had the right to get a couple of quotes and get some of her own contractors in there to see what needed to happen to get this work accomplished. Because at the end of the day, if it didn't sell to this buyer, we may have considered just doing the work ourselves so we didn't run into this with the next set of buyers. So I happen to know lots of people, and I happen to be fairly well connected within the home renovation, repair, and restoration industry. So I called in a couple of favors, and I had a couple of people go take a look at the property and look at the quote that was provided by the other realtor. And three of the people that I had look at it say $40,000 is crazy for this amount of work. Number one, some of this work doesn't even need to be done, and we don't actually recommend it. And number two, the work that we do recommend, which was reinforce the beam and make sure it was structurally sound, came in more at about maximum $15,000. It certainly wasn't $40,000. So I thought that was quite interesting that I then had three reputable recommendations by companies I knew that are actually nationwide professional organizations that anybody could look up. And they were willing to put it in writing for me to share with the other realtor and put, you know, their paperwork and their name behind it to say, no, this work actually doesn't need to happen. So my seller was very happy that we had done that due diligence and we got some people out there to look at ourselves, because it gave us a lot of ammunition to go back and have the debate with the potential buyers about what work they were even proposing be done and whether or not it should be done. So at the end of the day, we all agreed that the property did need some structural reinforcement. And then the other realtor's position was that what was missing from what my people looked at was the fact that there needed to be a weeping tile system installed. And that was debatable because I did ask my contractors that, and they all said that they didn't recommend it because actually doing that much digging and that much destruction around this property would probably cause more damage. There wasn't any signs of active or chronic water damage in the basement. There was no rot. There was nothing going on. So there was no reason for it other than in the home inspection that they had received, it said, it is now recommended modern day that there always be a weeping tile system around these kind of homes. And that's fine. Yes, there should be. However, what happened was the way this person wrote their home inspections was there was kind of like textbook language that was in one color, and then the actual callouts related to this specific property were written in another color. And the realtor and the potential buyers were reading the textbook stuff where it said it's recommended that there be a weeping system, or there could be, you know, rot and damage and leakage and mold and problems in the basement. But that was the textbook stuff. That wasn't the stuff that was in the other color, which was actual callouts to this specific property. So they were reading it incorrectly. And I got to be honest, I was pretty proud of the fact that I really defended my seller and I pointed that out to them. Just a little interesting point across the way. My partner and I were doing a mid-year business review recently, as we always do, and we were talking about the things we are most proud of so far this year. And honestly, typically it's, you know, I've sold this many houses, I've made this much money, I've helped this many families. Whatever your metrics are that you're measuring your own performance on are typically what people say they're most proud of. Two things for me, actually. I'm most proud of launching this radio show and doing it independently. So I've been on the air now since February. So I am pretty proud of that. I've had lots of great guests, but I've also built the confidence and built the skill set to now be able to talk by myself for 30 minutes. So go me. But also the other thing that I'm really proud of, and the one particular circumstance that I'm really proud of, is this example and this scenario where I worked really hard. And I know in my heart of hearts, I did good work for this seller. And we ended up coming back and realizing that, you know, A, the work was way overestimated by someone who wasn't a qualified contractor, and that B, the people reading the survey, or sorry, the property inspection incorrectly, to the point where I actually saved my sellers $40,000. So I'm very proud of that. That's good work that we get to do. So I love that. So in the end, they actually all got cranky and kind of walked away. But we went back and we said, you know, we're not going to take your reduced price of $510,000. There had been a point where we had said, okay, listen, all that we agree to is, yes, we agree that this needs to be reinforced from a structure perspective. And we have estimates to say that's about $10,000 or $15,000 likely. So we would go from $550 to $540 as the final selling price, but we're surely to goodness not going down to $510. And all parties kind of took a pause and walked away. And so it was very interesting because the next day, the other realtor phoned me and said, buyers feel really bad about everything that transpired. They still really, really want this home. And if your seller will still honor that final offer that they had given us as a counter at 540, we would like to take it and we'd like to proceed with this home. And so it was a really good feeling because at the end of the day, we won. We did really great work. We made sure that we, you know, checked all our dotted all our I's, crossed all our T's, and did really good due diligence on behalf of our sellers. We protected their interests, which is obviously first and foremost in what a professional realtor is going to do. And at the end of the day, we won. And I do like to win. However, in this particular case, the win meant a $30,000 or $40,000 savings for my sellers, so they're pretty pleased as well. The moral of that story, though, is when your home is listed for sale, and often it's not unusual for there to be a home inspection, and then the buyer come back and start to try and whittle away with price reductions because they find out that potentially the home needs a new furnace, or the home needs a new roof, or in the case of a rural property, potentially it needs a septic system, and they start to whittle away. And you got to be really careful, and you have to make sure, even if they are providing you with quotes, that those quotes are coming from really good, reputable, strong contractors in the area, and that you have an opportunity, in fairness, to get your own estimates, because they could be over exaggerated, they could be from not potential valid resources, and you want to make sure that you've really checked yourself before you agree to any sort of big decrease in the selling price. Now, the way that my team and I try and get ahead of that, though, is if you are listing with the Stage One Real Estate team, we actually do a pre-inspection. And one of the big reasons that we do a pre-inspection is to avoid all of this, because then, you know, potentially your home needs a new roof, and potentially your air conditioner and your furnace are at end of life. And we know what those things cost, and we know how much time and energy it takes. And maybe as a seller, you just don't have that time and energy right now to get those things taken care of. And maybe your house should have listed for $550,000. But knowing that, we went to market at $520,000 because we figure somebody's going to need $30,000 to do the roof and to replace the air conditioner and the furnace. And we factored that into our pricing strategy. So when a potential buyer comes along, they cannot then say, oh, we discovered in a home inspection that it needs a roof and it needs a furnace and an air conditioner. We can say, we knew that. We do offer a copy of the home inspection that we had done to any potential buyer to save them the amount of money of a home inspection, which in our market's like $500 or $600 if they want it. Some buyers will actually say, no, thank you. They want to get their own independent home inspection, which is fine. They're perfectly within their rights to do that. However, I think it's funny when they say to me like, oh no, Sherry, you probably paid the inspector for a perfect inspection. We want to go ahead and get our own. What's crazy is if you actually look at the inspections, most of the time there's nothing perfect about them. And so I didn't pay anyone for a good home inspection. I paid someone for an honest home inspection. But what we did by getting a pre-inspection is we took the power out of the buyer's hands to renegotiate after we have a conditional offer, because we knew and we factored everything into the existing price that we went to market with. And so they don't have any leverage to say, oh, we discovered something you didn't know, because when we put a home on the property, we know everything about it. That said, I thought that was a great, really interesting story to share with everyone today. And just in the last few remaining moments, I'm going to chat a little bit more about what's hot and what's not in the Kingston and the Ontario greater real estate market. So what's hot is, if you're a buyer, is a good time to buy. Let's put it that way. There is lots of inventory on the market, and buyers have more choices than they've ever had before. And like we talked about, even in what's available in terms of currently listed, there are lots of great homes on the market. There are lots of great homes on the market that should have sold. And I have a couple of them. I have a couple of waterfront properties that are absolutely spectacular. I have some great investment income properties that are great. I have a cottage that should be sold, and it's just taking a little bit time, of time and the right buyers to come along. So patience is something that sellers need right now. But if you're a buyer and if you happen to be in a position to have a little bit of extra cash and you can either buy an investment property or a recreational property for you and your family, now is a fantastic time to do that because there is choice and you do have negotiating power. And so you can offer less than asking price, respectfully, of course. You never want to insult a buyer because they and their realtor did do good work to set the pricing and set a pricing strategy. You can get good conditions. So you can get a home inspection. You can negotiate the closing date. You can negotiate chattels. You can ask for the riding lawnmower. You can ask them to pay for the septic test. You can have lots of negotiation leverage, which is fantastic. And the people who are in that position are really in a great place to make those lifestyle choices that they've been thinking about. So if they wanted to go from a city property to a waterfront home, if they did want to purchase a family cottage, it's a really great time. Lots of people are thinking about hobby farms because that's a great lifestyle as well that interests lots of people. There's a lot of people also doing multi-generational living, and I think I should do a whole episode on multi-generational living because I have some personal experience on that and some great options for people who are considering it. We are definitely top heavy from an age demographic perspective in all of Canada, but particularly in our area as well, because lots of people like to retire to our region, and I completely understand that. So there's lots of opportunity to explore that. And if you are in a position to purchase something and then hold, the world and the economy goes in cycles, and things will pick back up when lots of the things that are happening in the world start to resolve themselves and we get back into another growth cycle economically and in the world. So if you're able to pick up something, like I said, you can get a waterfront cottage right now for under $450,000, which sounds crazy given where it would have been 5 or 10 years ago for a waterfront. If you can pick it up now and you can hold, that is a great time and a great time to do it for you and your family because you'll be enjoying it in the meantime for those 5 and 10 years. And who doesn't love a good summer weekend in Canada? What's not hot right now is overpricing your property. So there's lots of conversations going on where, you know, I may recommend to someone that they list their house for $499 and they say, oh, I was really hoping for more than that. I want to try $550. And that strategy just isn't working right now. People will do it with the mindset that, well, I'd be happy with $530. So I'm going to list at $550 and leave some room for negotiation. The problem is that the buyers are very sensitive and very savvy right now. And there are lots of consumer resources where people can even do their own research on what stuff has comparably sold for in the recent 30, 60 or 90 days. So buyers are smart and they're not interested in bidding competitions and they are not uninformed. And so they just want a fair price and they want to be asked for a fair price, and otherwise they'll just move on to another property because there are lots available. So when you are thinking about selling, you have to make sure that you're smart and you're strategic and you're comfortable with the price that you're going to get. There's interesting, one of the points is, you know, what's not hot right now is assuming that your house is worth what it was 2 or 3 years ago, because unfortunately it's not. We have definitely moved into a buyer's market and a softened market with all that inventory. So like we were talking about, the simple law of supply and demand is when there is more supply and softened demand, then prices are going to decrease. So if it's really important to you that you get a certain number for your home, then what you may need to do is wait. And so it depends on your circumstances. We always talk about why people move, what's important to them, and what's driving their move. And if your move is just, we want to downsize, maybe downsizing is a year or two out when the market rebounds. But if you have to move because you're in financial distress, you know, there's been a death in the family, there's been a divorce, or you're being asked to relocate for your employment, then you might not have any option. And you might have to just go ahead and go with what the market will deliver at this time. At any rate, this was a lot of information and I've enjoyed sharing it with everyone today. I hope you enjoyed it as well. And with that, wherever you are, whatever you do, I do hope you have a safe and happy day finding your way home.
Hi, this is Connor from Half Moon Run and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
down by the lake. We were overturning pebbles and appending all the animals alive. And I took a drag from your cigarette and pinched it between my finger and my thumb to let it die. And the sun burned low on the radio. Say that you will, say you will, or will you, won't, or you, whatever you prevaricate your whole life, don't you? And this much I can say, I would have waited till the oceans fell away and all the sunken cities would reveal themselves to you. But you won't, will you? Because you never do. And the sun burned through sweet as honeydew. And I, 17 and terminally fade. Well, I wrote it down and threw it all away. Never gave a thought to what I paid. And you, civil line, tattered me, you tethered me to you. The things you would, the things you would do. Tell the truth, I never had a clue. Curses young suburban villains and their ill-begotten children from the lawn. Come to me now, and on the station wagon window set the ghosts of your two footprints that they might haunt me when you're gone. And when the light broke dawn, you were forever gone. But I remember you. You were full. Well, you were full and sweet as honeydew. And I, 17 and terminally fed. Down and threw it all away. Never gave a thought to what I paid. And you, oh silver line, reclining in your queue. Well, you tattered me, you tethered me to you. The things you would, the things you would. Notice now I never had a clue. Never had a clue. Full and sweet as honeydew. Full and sweet as honeydew.
said and said I would take you there. I would take you there. Still believe there was one that led to that house on the sea. You took my time for your own, said I'm the one who speaks, said I'm the one who speaks.
That was a now defunct British band Another Sky with the song Let's Talk, Take Us There, which is on their final release, 2025's Mirror. Now announcing their breakup in April of 2025, Mirror was released the following month, this after having cancelled their previous tour in 2024. Now although they never explained the reasons for their breakup, prior interviews with band members had focused on the financial difficulties faced by musicians and the struggles to maintain a career in the industry. It's a very real problem that plagues musicians worldwide. Now, before then, we heard Portland, Oregon-based The Decemberists with Lake Song, a track from their 2015 album, What a Terrible World, What a Beautiful World. Hello, everyone. I'm Donald Finnegan, and welcome to No Chords Bar, a 90-minute show that takes you around the globe and through time to bring you an eclectic mix of music by artists across a broad spectrum of genres. Now, some of them you may know, but most of the artists heard here are not A-list mainstream superstars, since those artists don't need specialty shows like this one to reach an audience. What I try to do here is introduce listeners to new artists in music, and show that when played alongside one another, mainstream, alternative, and independent artists all sound just as good as one another. So let's continue on then with another set of music, and start with a Nova Scotia native now based in Toronto, and Natalie McIntosh, who records as Loviot. This is a track originally released as a single in April of 2026 titled Debutante.
Thank you.
Threw it all out in a ditch. Broke it down when I was sick. Built it back up brick by brick. I got this life to fix. Threw it all out in a ditch. Broke it down when I was sick. Built it back up brick by brick. I got this life to fix. Threw it all out in a ditch. Broke it down when I was sick. Built it back up brick by brick.
Build it back up.
That was Luscious Jackson, the now-defunct Manhattan-based all-female band, with the song Electric from their most successful album, 1996 Fever In, Fever Out, one produced by the legendary Daniel Lanois. Now, they were preceded by the Dutch blues rock trio De Wolf with the song Truce from their 2024 album Muscle Shoals, and Los Angeles-based The Record Company with the very catchy Life to Fix from their 2018 album All of This Life. Toronto's Loviot began the set with the song Debutante. This is No Chords Barred, hosted by me, Donald Finnegan, and I'll be right back after the break with another set of music. Welcome back to No Chords Barred. I'll start this next set with Kelly McFarlane, an Atlanta, Georgia native now based in the San Francisco Bay Area. From her 2017 album Water Dog, this is Pacific.
Well, I had good reason. time.